Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who's a league winner? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. With me today, of course, is D-Bro, Derek Brown, the King of Bros, and Andrew Erickson, Mr. Big Pod Energy. And today, it's about the league winners, and we're going to go through the names you need to know because, look, things have changed a little bit since last time we talked about potential league winners. Now we're going to go kind of by groupings here with some of the running backs and wide receivers. We're going to hit a tight end each and also the quarterbacks as well, because things have changed. Everything in the landscape of the NFL is constantly moving. And here at Fantasy Pros, we're going to keep you up to date with it because that's our job. That's what we do. And we're so excited because we're getting closer and closer to football season. This is what it's all about. Gentlemen, I know we've had some preseason football. I know a lot of starters haven't really been starting. Derek Brown, you put some extra time with me on the weekend as well, doing a little TV with me. What's it like now that we are getting into the thick of things? We're starting to get a clear picture of some of these teams. What stood out to you over the weekend?
Oh, it's been beautiful, Joe. I mean, come on. Preseason props. I mean, we can all degen through these things. It's been wonderful. The wallet is thanking me that football is back. It's a good time to be alive, man. I think some standouts, man. I mean, obviously, if anybody's been out on social media, guys, like, are your ears bleeding too? Because the hype is loud. It is kicked up to 11. Apparently, Isaiah Likely needs to get fitted with a jacket. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame next week. Him and George Pickens, I think, might be shaking hands and walking through the pearly gates of the Hall of Fame together. But I'm curious y'all's thoughts on that, because it's a little bit loud, fellas.
Yeah, it is. But I would say this. I mean, I was a little bit loud about Malik Willis 2 weeks ago, and now I'm a little bit louder than I was about Malik Willis. I don't care how much money Ryan Tannehill is making. This is the NFL. This is about winning football games. And I think Malik Willis can do that. And Kenny Pickett, I think, is going to be bigger and better than people realize. Just saying. So I don't know. Maybe that does help the George Pickens hype a little bit. Not too much, but maybe just a little bit. Andrew Erickson, who helped their stock a little bit over the weekend, some of the preseason buzz, what was going on?
Rashad White, you know, someone that we're going to be talking about a little bit later today, you know, he ended up working ahead of Keyshawn Vaughn in terms of the Bucs backfield. So that was something that's good to see. You know, there's a lot of things that you take away from the preseason games. And the last thing I really look at is the stats, because that doesn't really matter because they're not playing, you know, first string defenses. So really you're looking at how players are being used, whether players are being rested. You know, if some of the teams rest a certain player, it means, hey, he's probably locked up his role on the offense. That's why they don't need to see him. Like, I think the biggest guy over the weekend, I mean, Damian Pierce for the Houston Texans, like not playing at all on Friday night. And we were expecting him to get some reps with the starters. Like, nah, like Lovie Smith comes out and says, Nah, man, we already know he's pretty much locked and loaded. So, yeah, like Dameon Pierce is now someone that you need to look at round 6, 7, 8. Like, that's where now I've seen him in a couple mocks, a couple best ball drafts. That's where he's been going because, you know, no one's going to be surprised if he comes out day one against the Colts and Dameon Pierce is the Texans' starting running back.
Well, it's funny because that's exactly what Derek Brown and I talked about on Sunday. And spoiler, we're going to talk more about it today. So before we get all the names that you need to know in terms of league winners, we're going to talk about the giveaway because we want you to be a winner here at Fantasy Pros. Head over to fantasypros.com/contest today because we are giving away a Las Vegas Raiders Devontae Adams autographed jersey signed by Mr. Devontae Adams himself. And that, of course, is courtesy of our friends at pristineauction.com. So all you have to do, once again, is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Screenshot that bad boy right there of that subscription. Click that little bell for notifications and go win yourself a Devontae Adams jersey over at fantasypros.com/contest. Also, look, drafts have already begun. We know a lot of you have drafts this weekend and the next few weeks, so many more. And Draft Assistant with Sync is the way to get us in the draft room with you. The best of the best of Fantasy Pros has to offer in terms of tools and talent. The Draft Assistant with Sync provides you with pick advice, suggestions live in your drafts. It tells you who, you know, the players are that have already been taken in terms of like, oh, this team behind you already has a quarterback, so don't take it now. It's that little coach inside of your earpiece right there telling you how to go about your draft. And it works for Yahoo, ESPN, Sleeper, CBS, NFL, and more. It's unbelievable. It's basically got the same interface as the draft simulator, which you already know because you do all the mock drafts here, but only our MVP and Hall of Fame subscribers have access to Sync. So once again, head over to fantasypros.com/offers, make a deposit today in one of our partner sites, and you will get 6 free months of our premium products here at Fantasy Pros, including Draft Assistant with Sync. So we can be in your ear on the headset, helping you make the calls you need to be successful for your fantasy leagues. Draft Assistant is an unbelievable tool. Go check it out today at fantasypros.com. And of course, the other thing to remember too is we've got Fantasy Fest coming up live right here on our YouTube channel. And that is on the 29th, 3 p.m. Eastern, Monday, baby. Some big names in the industry are going to be joining us. It's going to be a who's who of fantasy sports. I'm telling you, you're going to want to be part of this. Just lock and load it. Click that little bell again for the notification so you know exactly what time everything drops. I'm going to try to do the marathon once again, all 6 hours. We'll see if that works out. Maybe I'll get a half hour here and there, get a snack, and then reload and come back. But look, you know Fantasy Fest. We do it every single year here at Fantasy Pros. This one's going to be bigger and better than ever. And it's going to be shorter so all of you can watch it back. Okay? It's not going to be the 14-hour action spectacular. It's going to be 6 hours. So if you do miss it, it's going to be easier to catch up, and I cannot wait, man. Everybody here is going to be involved with it too, so it's going to be fantastic. Don't forget, it's the 29th, 3 p.m. Monday. Be there at Fantasy Pros. Gentlemen, let's get after it. And today, of course, we're using our rankings over at fantasypros.com/rankings to get a sense of what's going on. We're going to go through an RB and a wide receiver in that first 1 through 50 picks that we think could be a league winner, then the 51 through 100 range, and then the 100 plus ADP range, okay? So that's how we're going. And of course, the consensus ADP is all available for you at fantasypros.com/rankings, where you could see all that goodness. Let's start with Derek Brown. D-Bro, give me a player in that 1 through 50 range at running back that you think can be a league winner this year.
I know I've talked about him a lot on this show. Again, got to mention Dalvin Cook, man. He's going off the board at RB5, 7th overall. And if you head over to my rankings, I want to be above consensus on him. And as crazy as that sounds, I got him at RB3, 5th overall. I want you above consensus in the field on Dalvin Cook. And you'll see him slide, especially, Joe, in more casual drafts and stuff. I've seen him go towards the back end of the first round. So not a player that you need a top three pick. And he's my best bet to be RB1 overall. If it's not Jonathan Taylor, if it's not CMC, it's Dalvin Cook. And it's we've seen the efficiency on the ground. We've seen the efficiency through the air. I think the big part about Dalvin Cook is prior to last year, RB2 fantasy points per game, back-to-back seasons, that is a player I want to bet on. And I think with the pass game usage and Kevin O'Connell there, you saw Sony Michel and Daryl Henderson combined for 12 slot targets last year. That would have been second behind only Najee Harris in the NFL. I want Dalvin Cook in the pass game, who prior to last year, 13th and 5th in yards per route run amongst running backs. We know the early down prowess is there. You add the pass game in there. Mm-hmm. RB1 overall is in his range of outcomes.
Yeah, and I think people forget that, and I think it's good you're reminding them because you're getting a discount on Dalvin Cook this year, and he is still an elite talent. Andrew Erickson, I like to think of you as elite talent, so give me somebody in the 1 through 50 range that you think of the running back position can be that again for fantasy teams this year and win them a league.
For me, it's DeAndre Swift, Detroit Lions running back. Me and Deuce Daly both think that Swift is a super special running back. You know, you've seen talks come out from the Lions that he's got his sights set on 1,000 receiving yards and 1,000 rushing yards. So the ceiling and expectations for DeAndre Swift in this Lions offense is extremely high, and I think that he can get there. Last year, he was RB9 in points per game before his injury. And really, all you're looking for is, we know the receptions are going to be there, and that's giving him a major boost in PPR leagues and half-point PPR leagues, but it's the high-value touches if this Lions offense becomes above average or even fringe top 10 behind one of the best league's offensive lines. We know Jared Goff is going to pepper the running back position with targets because he does not move in the pocket. You know, Swift last year, 26 red zone touches outside the top 30. 22 of those touches came in the first 7 weeks. So after his injury, he really was not getting the red zone usage that we want. So if he gets that red zone usage, kind of like what we saw with Austin Eckler, like Eckler, we knew on a per touch basis was super efficient. And then when the offense took a step forward, he got all these red zone touches. And then what do you know? He was a top three running back in fantasy football. So that's all we need for Swift. We know that the floor is there for him to be a top 10 running back. That's where his ADP is at RB9. That was his points per game last year. And then if you get the touchdown production with the offensive output just better this season, I think Swift, you know, we know he's super talented. He's already been a guy that hasn't been efficient as a rusher. Like, that's considering how bad he has really been as a rusher. Now, does that improve or not? It doesn't necessarily even matter. If he's an average rusher on top of the receiving, on top of the red zone usage, I mean, after Anthony Lynn left the Chargers, Eckler's red zone usage blew up. And Who was the offensive coordinator last year for the Lions? Anthony Lynn. We're going to see Swift's red zone usage blow up this year. So I think that he can be a league winner. As a guy you get in the second round, love it.
And the fact that you can get him in the second round is huge because you've got him at 12. I've got him even higher, actually, than you. That's how much time I've spent with you, Andrew Erickson, this offseason. You have had such an influence. I actually have him higher than you have him now overall. So to everybody out there, he's worthy of a first-round pick if you don't want to wait. It's okay to go ahead and reach on DeAndre Swift. You have our blessing here. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about League Tycoon. You've heard us talk about League Tycoon last season. Well, this offseason, they released a brand new mobile app that makes contract dynasty leagues better than ever. If you've even been thinking about upgrading your league to a contract dynasty league, you're going to love League Tycoon. Contract leagues inject real strategy into your league with salary caps and contracts. On most sites, running a contract league is a pain with tons of spreadsheets, setup work, and trying to keep up with everything. And League Tycoon is built specifically for contract dynasty leagues. You'll never have to use spreadsheets again, and everything is built in, automated, so that even managers with no experience in the format can have a league up and running in just minutes. They have a top-of-the-line website and mobile app that makes being an owner in a contract league really intuitive. And best of all, if you create a league on League Tycoon with the promo code FANTASYPROS, your league is completely free for the first season. You'll find out how sharp League Tycoon is and how much fun your league can have playing Dynasty. Check it out now at LeagueTycoon.com and use that promo code FANTASYPROS. Again, that's LeagueTycoon.com and use that promo code FANTASYPROS. And now, back to the action. Let's move a little bit deeper in the running back ranks here. Let's go through 51 through 100. Give me another running back back to you here, D-Bro, that you think could be a league winner.
So outside of league-winning strategies, which starting Dalvin Cook and DeAndre Swift in your drafts is definitely counts for that, but a little bit farther down the board, a guy that I want to mention here, and I know that we've hyped him, we've talked about him, we've touted him in previous seasons, but I think this is the Chase Edmonds season. This is the year we need to be all in on Chase Edmonds. RB32, 87th overall. I have him as a top 20 running back, 60th overall. You don't have to pay up to get him there in drafts, but you need to be above the field on him. And this all comes down to, we want players that are explosive and that can play in the passing game. We know this is in Chase Edmonds' range of outcomes because 9th in yards per route run. He was 12th in juke rate last year. He's been top 12 in breakaway run rate. So now you marry all of this with, I mean, look, we want to talk about preseason. Sonny Michel is the distant RB3 on this team. They have either shelved Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert and let these other guys play. this is Chase Edmonds' backfield. We know the pass game involvement is going to be there because Tua is not going to run a ton. So I want to be above consensus on Chase Edmonds. I like talented players. I like explosive players. And you should too. This isn't hard, people.
I like that. That was like a public service announcement. You should also like explosive yes. players. Get them on your fantasy roster. The more you know. I will say this also. The fun part about this is that, you know, I think going into it, we all had concerns about the many different backs that were in Miami. As preseason's gone on, I think you nailed it, D-Bro, where I feel like now we're getting a little bit more clarity, and it does feel like the Chase Edmonds confidence level should be higher at this juncture. So I'm glad you pointed that out, because I feel like that stigma is still attached to him. So D-Bro's trying to tell you guys, look, shake it off, like Taylor Swift would say. All right, let's go to another running back here. Same range, 51 through 100. Give me a name, Andrew Erickson, that can win a league.
Ramondre Stevenson, 95th overall. I have him ranked 67th overall inside my top 30 running backs. He's RB36 per ADP. And I just think it's Ramondre's time to take over this backfield. He forced a 50-50 split with Damien Harris at the second half of last year as a rookie running back, a day three pick. Very rare to see that from the New England backfield. And he was just super efficient. Like highest grade rookie running back over the past five seasons per PFF, Kamara in 2017, Nick Chubb 2018. Josh Jacobs, 2019. Last year, or 2020, was Jonathan Taylor. And this past year was Ramondre Stevenson. All those other running backs were top eight running backs the next season because they're good. And I just think Ramondre Stevenson is the best running back on the Patriots. I think he has an all-around skill set. He's a big running back that can catch passes. Like, that's a very rare skill set to have in today's
like
NFL.
Steven Jackson. Like, that was a kind of back. You have a bigger back who can catch the ball and do it all. That would be an ideal scenario for the Pats if they could do that.
Yeah, and I think Bill, and the praise that he's gotten from Bill Belichick, you know this, Joe. Like, Bill Belichick doesn't not hand out praise to just anyone, especially second-year running backs.
Well, he wrote me a nice letter about the show. He thought I was great. He said, you needed work, but I was good.
For former day three picks, and Stevenson was in the doghouse at the beginning of last year, I just think that everything that he's shown us and overcome, I think that when the season's all said and done, we're going to look at Stevenson as like, wow, like we're going to be ranking him as like a top 15 running back towards the end of the season. And be like, wow, like how do we not see this coming with Ramondre Stevenson just being this uber elite efficient running back on a Patriots offense that I think that people are too low on. So for me, Stevenson is someone that I'm willing to take a shot on round seven, round eight, because that's really where we find a lot of these breakout running backs. And that's right. Why the anchor RB strategy, you get one stud and then you just wait at the position. You just take shots on these breakout guys. I think Stevenson fits the mold perfectly.
Unless you're like me and you just keep taking shots on guys and you just keep going and take all the wide receivers that they'll give you early on. All right, let's go to another running back, this time outside of the top 100. D-Bro, who's the name that speaks to you in terms of league winner?
Talked about him earlier, guys. And if you're going to go wide receiver heavy early, the name that you need to have at the top of your list is Damian Pierce. He is that dog. He does have that upside. Mm-hmm. I know he's on the Texans. This guy has legit insane talent. He's going off the board RB44, 121st overall. I have him at RB33, but he is 79th overall. So top 80 pick. And the thing about that I want people to understand about Damian Pierce is he can own the passing downs. And this comes down to he is a dog in pass protection. I never saw this guy lose a one-on-one rep while I was at Senior Bowl. And if you look back at Florida, 72 pass blocking reps, zero sacks, one QB hit. He is going to be Davis Mills' best friend in the backfield from day one. And we want to talk about versatility. This guy was used in the slot or out wide on 23% of his snaps at Florida. So we're talking about a versatile skill set. We're talking about an explosive player that can play three downs. If you're telling me that's in Houston, it doesn't matter. Wherever, 15 to 20 touches, and he's going to garner targets because Davis Mills, again, is not running. Yes, I want you higher on Damian Pierce. He is that dude.
Andrew, I think you and I should go with D-Bro to Senior Bowl next year. What do you think? You in? Little guys trip, like the hangover kind of thing. Yeah. Maybe it'll be a tiger, outside the motel when we're done. I don't know. I don't know where that night's going to lead, but I want to go there.
Yeah, should be fun.
Right? All right, Fantasy Pros, come on. Send the three amigos down there. Let's go with Senior Bowl time. Because I'm so sick and tired of D-Bro having this leg up on us, Erickson, where he gets to see all these things, nobody losing one-on-ones. And I want to see that, man. I want to be there for it. All right, give me another name outside the top 100 at running back. Andrew Erickson, league winner is?
I like Rashad White, a rookie running back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So right now he's kind of slated as Fournette's backup. But, you know, if an injury happens to Fournette, who is a little bit of an older running back, we've seen him get banged up before. I think that Rashad White could really be a major difference maker based on his receiving profile coming out of college, first in the class in receiving yards. And if you look at running backs drafted on day two that average at least 30 receiving yards per game in their final college season, here's what you got. Saquon Barkley, David Johnson, Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson, wow. Najee Harris, Travis Etienne, and Rashad White. So, yes, does he have the opportunity day one, week one? No. He has to earn that opportunity, but guys get hurt. And I want the pass-catching running back in a Tom Brady-led offense. We've seen these running backs just get absolutely peppered with targets every single time Brady drops back to throw. So I think Rashad White, yeah, maybe initially he doesn't look like someone you can start, but that's why he's going 139th overall as the RB47. So he's someone that I love to stash on my bench. He's not getting a lot of hype, but as I alluded to at the beginning of the show, like, he's already starting to move up the depth chart. You know, it seems like he's already surpassed Keyshawn Vaughn as kind of that next running back. So with shades like David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, I don't think that was it wasn't by mistake that Bruce Arians was part of drafting Rashad White, you know, as someone that's coached Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. Like, they see that in his game. So I think he has a three-down skill set and would definitely take over this backfield if anything happened to Leonard Fournette.
Well, here's the question, though, because I know a lot of people are saying, well, okay, is that a dead roster spot if I draft him, though? Because you need the Leonard Fournette injury for him to be potentially useful. Is that the case, or is there a role for him in this offense regardless, do you think?
I mean, probably not. Like, we saw the Buccaneers when Leonard Fournette played in the preseason game, he's played all the snaps. So it's one of these high upside picks that if you can hold him, I think it's going to pay off. But if you let him go to the waiver wire, then you're going to give someone else another chance to get a potential lottery ticket. So, but, you know, this is where you kind of have to find some value. You know, it's not like a Brian Robinson situation where Brian Robinson now looks like he can give you week one production, but okay, how high is his ceiling? Again, he still plays for the Washington offense, and Brian Robinson's still going to lose snaps to J.D. McKissick on third downs. So, again, I get why Brian Robinson's getting the hype based on, oh, he's going to be the start on early downs on Washington, and he's not going to play when they're throwing the ball. So, like, how valuable is that? Whereas Rashad White can go from zero to hero very quickly.
My goodness. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Manscaped. Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of year where everybody's looking for CeeDee Lamb, but have you seen these balls? That's right, because they are Manscaped. You don't want your huddle looking like Aaron Rodgers, all unkempt and weird with all hairs pointing in different directions. No, you want it nice and clean and smooth like Tom Brady. So if you want to make sure that your package is up to snuff, make sure you get the Performance Package 4.0 and join the 6 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped, and use that promo code JOEYP when you go check out at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's right, the promo code is JOEYP. In the Performance Package, you're going to get the Lawnmower 4.0 for all the hair everywhere. You're going to get the Weed Whacker for your ear and nose hair. You're going to get the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, the Crop Reviver Toner, and the Performance Boxer Briefs. They're also going to throw in a nice little travel bag for all this stuff for your sack. It's a sack full of things for your sack. Tom Brady didn't come out of retirement for you to have hairy balls. So go to Manscaped right now. Get that Lawnmower 4.0. Get that performance package for your package. And when you do, make sure you use that promo code JOEYP. Again, that's manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the promo code JOEYP. Your balls will thank you. And now, back to the action. All right, let's move on to the wide receiver position. Let's go back and dial it all the way back to the 1 through 50 range and talk about the guys who are league winners. Derek Brown, give me your league winner in terms of 1 through 50 wideouts.
I love how as soon as Erickson said it, as soon as it came out of his mouth, he knew he was going to get shade. He knew he was going to get pushback. You saw it written on his face.
I love a good Disney Hercules reference at the end of the day. I mean, who doesn't? Who doesn't? And it's funny because he's the one who doesn't have kids. So it's not like the Disney Plus is on at the house all the time. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's how you jive out while you're doing research. Maybe
my
you got
fiance
a little Moana
loves
in the background.
Disney.
I don't know.
My fiance loves Disney.
I love Disney.
Okay, so there you go. So if it's your fiance doing it, which means that your kids are going to be Disney addicts, which means you're going to need a separate space in your house somewhere.
100%.
Just take it from us. Okay, go ahead, D-Bro. Go back to the wide receivers in that 1 through 50 ADP range if you can.
So speaking of pushback, I know all the Derrick Henry stands are ready to light me up in the comments here. But again, I'm going to bring up A.J. Brown, baby. He is wide receiver 11, 27th overall. I'm telling you, you need to be more aggressive in drafts. wide receiver 7, 14th overall. And I can craft you a pretty good conversation to push him into the first round. Won't do it here, but A.J. Brown has the talent. And yes, I believe that Jalen Hurts has the talent. Foreshadowing, I'm going to talk about him in a little bit. But with A.J. Brown, he has been an elite wide receiver since the time he hit the NFL field. He has been 4th, 7th, and 18th in targets per route run. This is an alpha target-demanding wide receiver that is going to an underrated, still underrated, Philadelphia Eagles offense that I think is going to crush this year. We're looking at a player that has never finished outside the top 7 in yards per route run. He's going to walk into a career high in targets. And after watching him in 2020 put up a wide receiver 6 finish with 106 targets, I am so elated, excited, electrified to see what A.J. Brown is going to do with 120, 130. Hell, if he gets to 140 targets, people are going to wish they had pressed the button on A.J. Brown in every one of their drafts, and I'm just going to be smiling at the end of the year.
There you go. All right. Excellent. Let's go back to you, Andrew Erickson. Let's find a wide receiver. Be our guest, Andrew. Go ahead and give us somebody who could be a top league winner potentially at the wide receiver position.
Coming in right, sneaking right into the threshold of 50 overall. Going to go with Mike Williams for the Los Angeles Chargers. I mean, look, last year at the beginning of the season, first 5 weeks, second in wide receiver scoring behind only Cooper Kupp. Like, we've seen Mike Williams have this sky high ceiling as a locked and loaded wide receiver 1. And last year, he was putting up wide receiver 1 weeks at the same rate as Keenan Allen. The only difference being he was booming way more than Keenan Allen. Mm-hmm. Keenan Allen never had a top 6 week last year. Like,
right.
Keenan Allen has that super high floor based on the amount of targets in the offense that he gets. But if that target share dwindles even just a little bit, like, that's going to hurt Keenan Allen. And that's going to put Mike Williams ahead of Keenan Allen because he's getting more of the high value targets, getting targeted down the field and getting targeted in the end zone. 6th in end zone targets last year, but only caught 5 for touchdowns. I'm expecting some regression for Austin Ekeler in terms of his touchdown production. I don't think he's going to score as many rushing touchdowns. I think Herbert is in line to throw like 40 plus touchdowns. And if that happens, who's going to be catching 15, 16 touchdowns? It's going to be Mike Williams. Like, that's what's going to happen here. Like, I love Gerald Everett. Love him to death, but like,
I like Palmer too. I think Palmer's a dude.
Palmer's also very good.
I really like Palmer, but I'm in Mike Williams camp with you, Erickson. And you've seen, I mean, in our drafts, who ends up with Mike Williams most of the time? This guy. Like, I mean, I'm aggressive on him. And now in terms of your ranking, Erickson, you have him at 29th overall wide receiver 13. I think I've got him in the top 10 right now in my ranking.
Same.
So you want, all right. So all three of us are in that page. So how aggressive should people be really on the Mike Williams wagon here, Erickson? Because all three of us seem to be very aggressive.
I mean, I would take him. I mean, I have him 29th overall. So round 3 comes around, like, I'm taking Mike Williams.
Would you take him over Pittman or no? No, you saw
Pittman. So I have him ranked 1 spot behind Pittman. And
same
again, you know, Pittman could have obviously made this list too as a terms of a league winner. But I think that based on where you draft them, like, Pittman is pretty much always going around 3. Like, pretty much across the board, even in, like, home leagues, because it's so obvious, okay, like, he's the number one target in his offense. Whereas, you know, the fact that Keenan Allen is still, like, a legitimate player is going to suppress Mike Williams' ADP. Like, it's just going to naturally suppress his ADP, where you can get Mike Williams in round 4, potentially even in round 5. And that's, I think, the part of the conversation of a league winner. Not only are you getting the production, but are you getting the best value for that production? So getting Mike Williams in round 4, it's like, oh, I missed out on Pittman. Oh, I'll just take the other big Mike a little bit later, who I think has even more touchdown upside than Michael Pittman does.
It's a fascinating conversation because Williams has another big dog wide receiver, right? But he has a better quarterback also potentially in a higher scoring offense potentially than the Colts are. So it's a fascinating back and forth. I think these players are super close. For me, I have them back to back, basically, because you say, oh, Michael Pittman's that guy. He's got all the targets to himself. He's the alpha. It's a great offensive line. But it's still Matt Ryan. And on the other end, you've got Justin Herbert. You got the Chargers offense. They're slinging the ball all over the place. But Keenan Allen's there. So it's pretty crazy over there. Derek, you have a question here in this conversation I want to bring up here. Go ahead.
So I'm curious, and I think we're going to sweep the table here, guys, real fast. I have Mike Williams ranked over Keenan Allen. Do y'all as well?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I think he's got that upside. Like, if you're looking for the floor wide receiver, then Keenan Allen is your guy. But Keenan Allen never has double digit touchdowns in the season. Like, it's just not his game. I mean, I think one time he had it, but like, it's not what he does. And he is another year older, and I think it's something to be aware of. What about you, Erickson? Are you in that same vein? Do you have Williams over Allen, or you still have Allen over Williams because of the weekly floor level that's so high?
I'm checking my rankings to make sure I'm not lying, but yes, I have Mike Williams ahead of Keenan Allen, especially in a half PPR scoring. I think you can make the argument more for Keenan Allen in full point PPR, but I think in half PPR, I think it's clearly Mike Williams, honestly.
All right, Derek Brown, let's go back to you and talk about another wide receiver on your list. Let's go to the players who are in the ADP between 51 and 100. Which wide receiver do you want to be part of your world of league winners?
What have I done?
Oh, you've opened the box.
We're doing this. This is a beautiful, beautiful box.
I'm going to do it. Keep going.
I love this. See how many I can do. So much. I love this so much. I love this moment. And I'm not prisoner of the moment here, considering, yes, all this guy does is catch touchdowns. And yes, we saw it in the preseason. But look, you need to be buying into Gabriel Davis hype. We've talked about this. Erickson talked about this. Joe's talked about this. We've discussed this all offseason. Gabriel Davis hype is real, and so is the talent. Wide receiver 27, 68th overall. Based off of my ranks, he wouldn't even qualify for this, considering I have him at wide receiver 21 and 45th overall. And yes, I know it's aggressive, but you need to be above consensus because the talent is real. And with Gabriel Davis, people talk about his talent and his target shares and all these different things. We need to understand that this man has put up two very differing seasons, but if he puts it all together this year, it's going to be fantastic. In 2020, he was one of the best deep threats in the game, 8th in yards per route run on deep targets, 2nd in passer rating. 2021, he was one of the best at working in the middle part of the field and the intermediate. 41.9% of his targets were at the intermediate portion of the field. He was 4th in yards per route run, 2nd in catch rate, and 1st in passer rating when targeted here. He puts the deep threat and the intermediate prowess together this year. Sky's the limit. Dude is going to blow up. He is going to finish higher than a top 20 wide receiver. I think, look, him and Diggs could be the tandem this year, like Bengals last year, that both finishes wide receiver ones, and that's a player that I want to be above consensus on.
I love that take. He is at wide receiver 26 in ADP and half PPR right now. And the fact that he's in that range still with Amari Cooper is driving me. That's crazy.
It's crazy. The divide there is ridiculous. Like, the fact they're going in the same part of drafts is just, people need to wake up.
He's in that cluster with Amari Cooper and Darnell Mooney, who, like, I love Darnell Mooney, but, you know.
I do too, but still.
We have to keep it real and say what the Bears offense is not the ecosystem we necessarily want to be involved in, you know, but I mean, he has pushed up, and this preseason he's having where he's catching touchdowns again. I mean, that play that Josh Allen made this weekend where he spins around and throws the touchdown. I mean, it's glorious, but that's real. Like, that's not something where you say, oh, that's a one-off. No.
Looks like a Josh Allen type of play to me.
Right. That's Buffalo. So don't think that that's a one-off and, oh, he just made a play and Gabriel. No. Gabriel Davis, since day one, has been a guy he's looked for in the red zone. And it was just so frustrating after that rookie year that it didn't carry over right away into season 2 for him. But guess what? It's going to carry over this year. So be patient, buy back in. That's what we're saying. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code FantasyPros, because no matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMed Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. Andrew Erickson, let's continue on with this ADP, because we are now in the 51 through 100 range of wide receivers. Give me a name that, basically this wide receiver has got a friend in Andrew Erickson.
We're very good friends. Courtland Sutton, who's 52nd overall, I have him as a top 10 wide receiver 9, 21st overall. So if someone's like, how early would you take Courtland Sutton? I would say second round. Like, that's literally how high I would take him. I don't need to take him that high, but forced against my will, if I want to get Sutton on my team, that's how high I would take him. And I want to approach this differently, where the main argument against Sutton is, oh, well, his target share got nuked when Jerry Jeudy came back at the end of last season. But when you look at what Courtland Sutton was able to actually do in a bad offense when he actually got targets from weeks 2 through 7, 27% target share, wide receiver 17 points per game, Jerry Jeudy wasn't doing anything with his targets. He wasn't producing anything at all. At least Sutton showed that he could put up fantasy numbers, which is why we play the game, you know, to score fantasy points, not necessarily just get targets. And then unless you play in a per target point league, I don't play in those types of leagues. So
I hate when people throw these leagues at me where you're like, I'm in a, you know, I get 4 points for an attempt and then a minus for it. I'm like, what kind of league are you doing? Why do people do this, Andrew? Seriously.
I don't know.
Why do they torture themselves with these weird leagues that no one can help them with? I don't understand.
But Jerry Jeudy wasn't healthy during the time where Sutton was obviously more productive during the beginning of the season. But one thing to point out, and I think is being overlooked, is Tim Patrick and Noah Fant were also highly active in that passing game. Both those guys are gone. You know, Tim Patrick's removal from this offense, I think, should not be overlooked. He has 8 red zone touchdowns over the last 2 years. Jerry Jeudy has 8 career red zone targets. Like, that's the biggest point here, is why I like Sutton more than Jeudy's, because even if their target share is equal across the board, which I think is in the range of outcomes based on what we saw with Russ, with Lockett and Metcalf, it was pretty flat. But who's going to score the touchdowns? Like, I really don't think it's that hard to think that's like, wow, maybe it's like this giant 6'4 wide receiver that's shown proficiency in the red zone in previous seasons, that he's been a red zone monster in Courtland Sutton. So without Tim Patrick, without Noah Fant, I think Sutton can still have a target share or a high target share with Jerry Jeudy still active in the lineup. And the other thing, Courtland Sutton had 3 games with 23-point-plus fantasy performances first 6 weeks of last season. Jerry Jeudy had none, and that was one less than DK Metcalf did with Russell Wilson. So Sutton already showed that he could still put up points with bad quarterback play. He finally has a good quarterback that can unlock his ceiling. So that's why I want Courtland Sutton every single draft I'm in, and that's why he's going to win your fantasy football league for you.
When you don't get him in a draft, because I've been in one or two where you haven't, what's that like for you?
It's very sad. It's very sad. And honestly, when that happens, I need to be more open to taking like Jerry Jeudy like later on, just because in the cases that I am wrong, like those are the opportunities where if I can't get Sutton, it's like, okay, well, I think Jeudy can still have a better season than we've seen before. But
sure,
in terms of them, if they
you still want a piece of the offense, is what you're saying. That's important for people to hear, I think. Good.
Yeah.
Okay, because Grant Barfield told us last week, zero hedge, #zero hedge. But I think you make a good point. If the offense is improved and the values there with Jerry Jeudy, go ahead and take him. Jerry Jeudy or Gabriel Davis, because they're both basically in the same ADP.
Erickson? Gabriel Davis. Easy.
D-bro?
Okay, Gabriel Davis.
For 3. All right, so there you go. All right, let's move on. Outside post 100 wide receivers, let's get another league winner that you can feel the love tonight about. Derek Brown.
This is so beautiful. We got to keep this going. This is absolutely fantastic.
I just want to see how far I can go.
I'm watching you, and if people are watching this on YouTube, they need to watch Joe, because I'm like, I see him in between segments. I feel like he's Googling Disney quotes right now as we're going through and giving analysis.
Or may not be scrolling.
Oh my God. But
it's beautiful. Harder than you think to find one that really, you know, you can make a segue with.
Beautiful. It's beautiful.
With Hakuna Matata. Well, you know, it's kind of hard.
Speaking of good times and no worries, look, Julio Jones is, I understand. I understand that people have worries about him, but it's going to be good times in this season, people. For fantasy, we're talking about a wide receiver that's being disrespected. I get he's a little bit older. We've seen wide receivers that are Hall of Fame talents produce later into their careers. He's wide receiver 59, 149th overall. I have him at wide receiver 38th, 98th overall. And again, not a player you're having to spend up a ton in drafts, but I want people to understand, if health complies on the sample we saw last year, and I've mentioned this in the podcast before, so stay with me here. Six games last year where he played 60% or more snaps, 2.18 yards per route run, 78 flat PFF receiving grade. These are important, and I'm going to give you context here, because in that sample, it shows you that Julio Jones still has the talent. It's not gone. So if we can get health to comply here, and again, this is baked into his ADP, that yards per route run mark was tied with T. Higgins for 10th overall. That PFF receiving grade was immediately behind Terry McLaurin. So for 23rd. So the talent's not gone. Mm-hmm. Now we know he's going to be in an offense that's going to pass a ton. And we still don't know where we're going to see 100% Chris Godwin. Russell Gage is dealing with injury. Mike Evans is dealing with a hamstring. If any one of these guys goes down, hell, if Julio Jones just still proves he's still that guy, he's going to be fine in fantasy. And we've seen Tom Brady support multiple wide receivers as recently as last year. So you need to be drafting Julio Jones.
Julio Jones at 58 or Allen Robinson at 24. Who's the better bounce back investment, D-Bro?
I mean, considering the value, I'll go Julio Jones.
Erickson, same question to you.
I'm going to go with Allen Robinson.
Even though it's all the way at 24 and very expensive.
I mean, 24 is not that. I mean, he's going to have a much higher floor than he had last year. Like, he plays in a better offense. So
it's fair.
I don't think Robinson's going to bust. I mean, I'd be top 12 guy, but
I have to split the difference, and I'm going to say I'm just going to take Gabriel Davis instead.
That's Here's why I think
it's the right answer, because I think what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up, and I didn't even think of this as I was asking the question, but as the question was kind of looming out there like one of those cartoon bubbles in front of my face, I thought, why do I want to get too deep into any of these older players? Because every time I feel like we go that route, whether it be AJ Green a couple years ago or this player, that player, you know, it hardly ever ends well. When guys start on the downside, you know, it's a lot of, yeah, there's possibility. Yes, there's still things you could paint the good picture for and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, I'd rather be wrong on the younger wide receiver and take a shot there, or the younger player and the younger talent, as opposed to the older guy who might be on that downside, because that downside can be a really quick fall sometimes for some of these guys. All right, Erickson, give me a guy outside the top 100 at wide receiver for you that can paint with all the colors of the wind and win you a league.
I'm going to go with Kadarius Toney, wide receiver 46 in ADP. I have him at wide receiver 38, 95th overall. So he's a top 100 player for me. And it's just because the guy flashed future target magnet potential last year, 2.4 yards per route run, which ranked 11th last year, 25% target rate per route run, tied for 7th best, right with Justin Jefferson. I mean, this Giants passing game is wide open, in my opinion. Like, Kenny Golladay, I mean, I can't tell if it's Kenny Golladay or Colin Johnson, you know, that's out there on the outside. Like, I think Kenny Golladay is dust at this point.
I need to sit back up after that one. That was a lot to take in, dude.
I mean, I've seen it. I mean, Golladay looks like Dez Bryant in terms of, like, separation.
He's not wrong.
He just can't get open. So Daniel Jones is going to try to find the guy that's open, and that's Kadarius Toney. And I know that his knee has kind of kept him out of the preseason games, but for me, it's just they're keeping this guy in bubble wrap because they know they're going to be the featured point of their passing game. So I think Kadarius Toney, he has breakout candidate written all over him. What he did last year, super efficient on limited touches. He got banged up, and that's obviously the concern. You know, is he going to be able to play, you know, the entire season? He's already kind of banged up now. But for the cost of outside the top 100 picks, you can get a receiver that could lead his team in target. I mean, I don't see a guy outside in his range that could finish top 15 like he could. Like, that's kind of where I view Kadarius Toney, him and like some of these other rookie wide receivers, where we're only ranking them so low because there's just this unknown factor. Whereas, you know, Kadarius Toney's probably not going to finish as wide receiver 46. He's probably going to finish as like wide receiver, a top 20 guy, or like wide receiver 80. Like, it's going to be like way out there because
that's
the
toughest thing with a guy like that, right? Yeah. Because the as you like to say, the range of outcomes is so enormous with him. So how do you build a roster around that? Are you somebody that if you've already got a couple guys that are, you know, you're walking the line with a little bit, do you touch a guy like Toney and you just go all in and say, I'm boom or bust team? Or do you only take a Toney when you have a setup where you got, well, I got Keenan Allen and I got Jalen Waddle and I've got a setup I feel really good about?
Yeah, I think that this is where you want to take these shots on these players because they're not all going to hit. But if you take 3 or 4 or 5 shots on some of these rookie wide receivers and some guys with unknown potential, look, a lot of them are going to bust, but only need one of them to hit. And then that's how you get value, and that's how you kind of win. So I think Kadarius Toney is a great pick in the late rounds. I think that he has potential to be a top 15 wide receiver. You don't have to pay anything close to that based on his ADP.
Now, look, D-Bro, I know you're all in on Toney, but you understand what I'm saying, right? Is Toney a guy that you can only take if you have that base set up that you feel like, look, this is a really strong core? Or are you just saying, look, it doesn't matter, I want that upside of my roster anyway because of what the price is?
You swing for the fence. You swing for the fence. I don't really care about a player's floor. I don't really care because even the safest floor players can bust, even if they look like they have a safe floor. Give me the home run swings in drafts every single time. Because if they hit, you're absolutely mauling people.
All right, let's move on. So we've done the running backs. We've done the wide receivers here on the show. Let's move over to the quarterbacks. So go ahead, Derek Brown, take me through the quarterback that you think is going to be a league winner this year. No, I'm going to let it go for a little while. I'm not going to do any more. Oh, wait, I just did. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Derek Brown. Who's the quarterback?
It's got to be, man. It's got to be Jalen Hurts. Everybody knows it's the name that I was going to say, and I'm not going to disappoint anybody. Got him at QB3, got him 51st overall, which is much higher than consensus, which is at QB7 and 66. 66 overall is too low. And for everybody that says that Jalen Hurts can't get better as a passer, I would like to show you preseason tape, as well as let's rewind a little bit to last year. Final six games, he was 16th in PFF QB grade, 15th in adjusted completion rate, 13th in deep ball completion rate. So while these numbers might not be fantastic to a lot of people, I'm not telling you they were top 10, top 12 numbers. He got better. And he's got better weapons this year. Yeah. Top five offensive line, he's going to be behind. If this offense, and they don't even have to go top 12 with their passing rate, the pace could be fantastic. Because last year, weeks 1 through 7, they were first in neutral script pace. They were sixth in no huddle rate. I want pieces of the Eagles offense. I already talked about A.J. Brown. Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown could be the tandem that wins people leagues this year. Because with Hurts and A.J. Brown is going to come a bevy of fantasy scoring. I'm not always in on redraft stacking, but I sure as hell will be doing it with both of them this year.
I like Gainwell too. That's another player. It's funny, D-Bro, I keep going back to my last year work and I see Gabriel Davis, Darnell Mooney, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kenneth Gainwell. And I'm like, I think it was a year early on a lot of these guys. And I just think it's time to go back to the good research and say, look, maybe it didn't all work last year, but sometimes it takes a little longer. And sometimes your process is right, but the productivity doesn't always get there. So I think Gainwell's another one of these guys, especially with more uncertainty about Miles Sanders now, that he could be a really interesting late round PPR kind of selection there. Did you think I was done, by the way? Did I get you on that last one? I slid it in there at the end.
I thought we were done. I thought we were out and you pulled me back in, man.
You never know how far I'll go. Moana, go ahead. Let's go. Andrew Erickson. Give me the quarterback that's going to win people leagues in 2022.
Okay, so if you're not getting Jalen Hurts, the next quarterback you're going to draft is Trey Lance. 100th overall, he's QB13 ADP. I have him. 83rd overall is QB8. I think he's the exact late-round quarterback that you want to look for. So he had three games last year where he had at least a 50% snap share, averaged 54 rushing yards. That rushing mark was the highest ever by a rookie quarterback. And he wasn't even good in these games. Like that's a big thing here. It's like he was already putting up, 20-plus fantasy points per game, and he wasn't even good. So if he just takes an average step forward, now that he's had the whole offseason of being the 49ers starting quarterback, he has weapons all over the place. And the offensive line on the 49ers isn't great, but that just invites more rushing for Trey Lance. He's going to run the football with his legs, and that's going to get him fantasy points. So I get people are concerned because, he's only thrown the ball like 300 times. It's like, yeah, but when he runs, that's how you get more fantasy points. So if I miss out on Hurts or someone beats me to him, D-Rose in my draft, and he takes Jalen Hurts from me, and I'm like, man, I missed out. I'm like, Trey Lance is the consolation prize that you want to get, and I think that he's just the perfect late-round quarterback to draft.
Well, it's funny you say late-round quarterback, but I feel like you reach for him because the late-round quarterbacks are super safe. I can end up with Rodgers or Carr or Cousins or any of those guys at the end of the day to back it up. I have no problem taking a second quarterback if I'm taking Trey Lance, especially if I really like how the draft has fallen to me. You've got him at QB8, I think, overall. I've got him at QB10. Where do you have him, D-Bro,
Trey Lance? I got him at QB12, and I can move him up a little bit. I look at Trey Lance as this year's Jalen Hurts, like with the rushing floor and everything. His floor is extremely high in the sense that he's going to run. So if you're going to run and he's going to play all the games, he's going to be a top 12 quarterback.
Yeah, agreed. And speaking of this, I love this conversation. We're going to be doing a little rankings throwdown here, the three of us, coming soon. So make sure you head over and join our Discord for that, because that's going to be awesome. Where we like to do this, just generally speaking here, the three of us. We come here before the show. We talk about stuff. We move things around. We influence each other in hopefully positive ways. But most of the time, yes. But I think this is super important because we all come to the table with all these ideas about players, and we kind of like to test each other about where we have them in the rankings. So check that out. If you haven't joined our Discord already, I think that's coming. We're doing that, what, this week, right, Deeper? I think?
I think it's going to be this week. So people need to be tuned in. You be following the main account, too, on Twitter, because we're going to have this put out on the social airwaves, too.
Yeah, so get in the Discord, fantasypros.com/chat. You can join for free to check that out. But the three of us are going to get together and hammer that out in front of the public one more time. It's going to be fun to do. All right, let's go back to you, Andrew Erickson. Actually, we're back at tight end now. So we've done the quarterbacks, we've done the wide receivers, we've done the running backs, tight end time. Derek Brown, who should owners be prepared to draft Lion King this year in terms of league winner?
So he had some hype earlier in the offseason and people kind of cooled a little bit. I'm telling you, you need to be back in on Dalton Schultz. Tight end 6, 62nd overall. I have him at tight end 4, 52nd overall. And it's above consensus, about a round, and you should be drafting him around there because I think that Dalton Schultz has league-winning upside. Last year, 12th in yards per route run, he was top 13 in target share and red zone targets. And we're talking about Amari Cooper is gone. Michael Gallup is going to be out for an extended period. So he's the number two option in one of the fastest paced, highest passing volumes offenses in the NFL. And people are like, he's a middling talent. He doesn't do really good versus man coverage. I don't care.
I don't care about that. I hear that same noise about Schultz and I just drive right by it. I don't care.
He has enough athletic talent. You put him in the same bucket because if you look at their athletic measurables as Zach Ertz, Zach Ertz has had top five, top four tight end seasons in previous years. And now you throw that type of player into the context of the Dallas Cowboys offense and the fact that, yes, he is really, really good versus zone coverage. 7th in yards per route run. 65% of his targets last year came against zone. And why I do not care that he could not beat man coverage, because guess what? The Dallas Cowboys, looking down their schedule, have 7 to 9 teams, so about half of their schedule, are teams that I project are going to run a ton of zone coverage. They got the Eagles twice, the Commanders twice, again, the Packers, a bunch of other teams. So you're looking at, he's really, really good, and he's going to be heavily targeted. And oh, what if he takes another step forward in volume, red zone usage, and efficiency this year? Dalton Schultz could be this year's Mark Andrews, and I don't think that that's crazy to say.
All right, let's go full circle of life. Close out the Disney theme for the day. Andrew Erickson, which tight end do you want to go the distance with? And we're back to Hercules. We made it. We did it, guys. I'm so proud. Who do you want to go the distance with? Who's a league winner at tight end?
It's Kyle Pitts, Atlanta Falcons tight end, because he's a wide receiver that you can essentially play in your tight end slot. Look at last year, 21 years old. Third among tight ends in receiving yards, 60 per game. The last two guys to put up that type of number from a reception or receiving yards per game basis, Justin Jefferson, Juju Smith-Schuster, they put up 1,400 yards in their second season. Targets are the lifeline for tight ends in fantasy. Mm-hmm. That's all he's going to see in the Falcons offense. Like, that's what he's going to get. Like, he is the alpha in an offense. He's an every snap player. And look, Travis Kelce is the tight end one in a lot of ranks. I move Pitts to tight end one. You know, that's because I think that you should have him. He should be the first tight end that you want to draft in round three. Like, I'm not drafting Travis Kelce in round one. I'm not drafting Mark Andrews in round two. I'm drafting Kyle Pitts in round three because he's the guy that is the on the ascent. The Ravens are not going
to
throw the ball as much. That's
a fascinating way to rank it, though, Andy. Because you're saying basically you're ranking based on you're ranking based on the concept of value as opposed to talent necessarily or ADP.
Yeah. I mean, basically, if you look at my rankings, you're going to realize, oh, I shouldn't draft Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews. I should just draft Kyle Pitts because that's what I would do. And that's what I want to do because I think that he has the targets in that offense. He's super talented. And I just don't think when we're talking about tight ends next year, who are you going to be the tight end one? You think it's going to be 34-year-old Travis Kelce? No, it's going to be Kyle Pitts. Like, that's who it's going to be. So let's just get ahead of it now. Rank him number one now because that's when it's all said and done. It's going to be like, wow, we should have ranked Kyle Pitts higher. Because
even in the Falcons offense, though? That has so many issues at quarterback. And,
here we go. Mariota had to.
And even mentioned Mariota. Time. Why was the offensive line? But
is it the quarterback situation? Is what is the play?
I don't understand. Like, did I wake up this morning and all of a sudden Marcus Mariota is not the quarterback and they flew in the offensive line from the old Washington? Yeah, I can't even say the name of the team nowadays, but like the Hogs, are the Hogs back there playing for the Atlanta Falcons?
Right, but like, so with tight end, though, it's a little bit different than specifically with wide receiver. So last year, who were Mark Andrews' quarterbacks when he was like ripping up the league? He had backups in. Josh Johnson was in at quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. George Kittle a couple years ago when he was tight end one. Who were his quarterbacks? Nick Mullins, CJ Beathard. Like, tight ends are less dependent on the QB play and more about the actual targets in the offense.
Ravens offensive line is so much better than the Falcons offensive line. I'm just saying, like, bad quarterback play and bad offensive line is tough sell for one anything in my book.
Okay, so you would rather put your chips on a 33-year-old tight end with a good quarterback that's not even playing all the snaps. He's rotating with other tight ends versus Kyle Pitts, 21 years old, who is basically a wide receiver playing tight end at a cheaper cost.
I don't want to take Kelsey where I have to take Kelsey either. But I feel like there's no good answer.
So then who are you? So you're taking, so Kelsey round
that's
one.
That's why if you watch my drafts, I take tight ends all the way at the end because I just take a couple shots.
Joe is leaning with Dalton Schultz here.
You're not wrong, because if you're looking at the best return on investment on the cheap, there's still people that will take Hockenson. I saw Goddard go ahead of him. I've seen weird things where Schultz is there for the taking at a place where it's way more comfortable. Pitts is still an investment. And look, dude, I love Kyle Pitts. I was the Kyle Pitts hype. I had him top five last year in my ranks. I'm not trying to say Kyle Pitts is bad at all. I'm just saying when you put him at one overall, I think that makes the expectation is you believe he can finish one overall. And I'm asking you, do you believe the Atlanta Falcons offense can sustain that? And that's, you can answer yes. That's just your answer.
Yeah. I mean, he plays wide receiver. Like he's in the tight end slot, but he plays wide receiver. So like that just significantly gives him an advantage over a Travis Kelce, over a Mark Andrews, who are still playing tight end snaps. They're still lining up in line. Kyle Pitts is going to run circles around linebackers when he gets matched up with them. It's going to be, wow, this guy is like open by like 5 yards. Yeah.
And he's playing more in line this preseason too.
You know what's hilarious? You've got him at one. Debro has him at two. I've got him at three. So clearly we all love Kyle Pitts. It's not a question. It's just a matter of.
But just to clarify, you have to take a tight end in the first three rounds. So would you take Kelce in round one, Andrews in round two, or Pitts in round three? Like who
Pitts
are you
in
taking?
Round three. So you're
Pitts.
Right.
It's Pitts for me. And I want to clarify something too, because we talked about, since we're clarifying here.
Are you going to drop your microphone and walk off the show now? That was pretty like, all right, fine.
We talked about this before whenever, and Erickson gave me pushback about Drake London and how can Mariota support, but I love both of these guys. They're both going to gobble up targets. I am absolutely in on Pitts with everything that Erickson's talking about here. I think he can crush. That's why I have him ranked at two.
I think he can just be like a cheat code. Like when we're looking back at the season, like, wow, like you had Kyle Pitts at tight end and he scored as many points as a top 10 wide receiver. Like that's in his range of outcomes.
Well,
and that's
why I've done it in a few drafts already where if the wide receiver talent's not there, I'll pivot right to Pitts because that's the advantage. Like I'd rather take him than I'm just trying to look at, you know, trying to bring up the ADP again real quick.
And he'll fall to the fourth round sometimes. Like, that's not crazy. When you're in less sharp drafts, like home leagues and stuff, not in best ball.
Oh, that is absolutely true. But when you get into that, you get into that weird spot, like let's say Waddle's off the board, let's say Pittman's off the board, and now we're into the Deontay Johnson, Terry McLaurin side of things.
Pitts.
That's where I pivot to Pitts. Let me kind of make it clear here. I think it's a relative decision. You make it relatively speaking upon the talent of the board, not so much locking in a round with a player always. But like once you're past Waddle, once you're past Pittman, once you're past Mike Williams, those guys are not available. And I'm looking at Deontay Johnson and McLaurin.
Okay.
Then I'd rather have the advantage of Pitts at tight end. I think we're all kind of saying the same thing, just in different ways.
Real quick, guys. And I think this is a good discussion point. Brandon Cooks or Kyle Pitts?
Oof. Kyle Pitts, because I think he's an advantage.
Pitts. I don't think it's even close.
It's Pitts for me. It's fast Pitts.
Well, then you're not giving enough respect to Brandon Cooks and how good he's been.
But that's where people are going to go with
can
it.
Brandon
I
Cooks,
think you
like,
took the upside.
Is Brandon Cooks going to be a top 10 wide receiver or something he's like never been? Like, is that?
No.
Exactly. Nope. So he's the safe. He's the, again, the double condom play is Brandon
he's
Cooks.
Something. My God, you're going to get a shirt made up if you keep this up. I'm telling you, go to fantasypros.com.
Tank top.
Shop right now.
Has to be a tank top.
And you're right. It absolutely has to be a tank top. There's no doubt about it.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, let's go real quick. before none of us are here next week, let's go to our listener mailbag over here at Discord. Again, I told you, fantasypros.com/chat. Again, Discord is free, but if a premium subscription, it gets you access to all of our AMAs, our Discord stages, and a lot more channels. Tequila Mockingbird wants to know, D-Bro, this question's right straight to you. That's why I picked it. After that Romeo Dubs TD, how are you changing your rankings? Is he the guy? Go ahead, D-Bro.
He is not the guy. No, no. Christian Watson is going to come back. He's a second round pick. He's still super, super talented. People are going to realize really quickly they need to be pressing the panic button, pumping the brakes on all of this crazy Romeo Dubs hype.
All right, I drafted Romeo Dubs and flex as the late pick. Is this the best time, Andrew Erickson, to trade him?
I mean, probably. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. He's a day three pick. Now, D-Bro, do you have Christian Watson still ranked ahead of Romeo Dubs in redraft?
I do.
Put a dollar in the jar, Erickson.
Dobbs.
Put a dollar in the
Dobbs. We've been corrected. Dobbs.
Dobbs. I caught myself. It's like, that was wrong. Dobbs.
That jar is going to be so full by the end of the season. But yeah, look, I mean, preseason's tough, man, because you see these guys pop, especially when there's opportunity. It becomes really tantalizing. I'm still of the mind you take some shots because D-Bro's not wrong. But I would like to take some shots anyway, and I'm not overpaying for him. But come on, if he's there in the last round, you just take a shot, and if it works out for the first couple of weeks, then you could trade him for something really good, you know? And if D-Bro says all these things that, you know, there's negatives there that are come to fruition, maybe they don't come to fruition the first month of the season. That helps. Every little bit helps here. So we hope you enjoyed this show of league winners and Disney songs and so much more. Of course, if you want to get more amazing fantasy content like this, subscribe to our YouTube channel, Fantasy Pros. Again, that's youtube.com/fantasypros. Click that little bell till it goes ding. There are all the great content we got going on here, all the podcasts, all of the videos, short form, long form, and our Fantasy Fest for Fantasy Football, Monday the 29th, 3 p.m. Eastern. Be there. Six glorious hours of amazing fantasy football content with some of the best names in the industry across the board. We got folks from CBS joining us, from Yahoo joining us. We've got incredible list of writers, incredible list of podcasters. We're going to be there for the event. We'll continue to release those names as the week draws on. Also, when you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you can go enter the contest, fantasypros.com/contest, for that autographed Devontae Adams jersey. Thanks to our friends at pristineauction.com. That can be yours. Just follow the rules. And again, the playbook is here for you for your fantasy football season. We told you about Discord. We told you about the draft kit. We've told you about everything. Draft Assistant with Sync is another incredible tool. It's like having us in the draft with you at all times, helping you make your picks, giving you suggestions, the tools of Fantasy Pros at your fingertips, whether it's Yahoo, ESPN, Sleeper, doesn't matter. All of your online drafts can sync up to this Draft Assistant tool. It helps you make picks. It helps you make selections. It tells you when you can wait, when you can't for certain positions. I'm telling you, it's the thing you need to dominate your draft. So go check it out right now, Fantasy Pros. Again, that's the Draft Assistant with Sync at fantasypros.com/draftwizard. And if you want to become a premium subscriber to get that tool, fantasypros.com/offers is the place to do it. I know a lot of people have been messaging me that they've done it and they love it already. So go to fantasypros.com/offers, make the deposit, then go to fantasypros.com/draftwizard and use that 6 free months of our premium product, and then come hang out with us on Discord all year long. It's a beautiful time to be alive here and hang out with us, the Fantasy Pros family. Getting it done for you in fantasy football. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including League Tycoon. Head over to leaguetycoon.com. Use the promo code FantasyPros to get your new contract Dynasty League up and running today. Of course, go over to manscaped.com. Get 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped with the promo code JOEYP. Again, that's JOEYP at manscaped.com. And in case you have an unfortunate manscaping accident, head over to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FantasyPros. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.